Welcome to Basic Gospel. We're here every day at this time to bring the basic gospel into your life. It's relevant, it's personal, and it's essential. Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we're here to provide scriptural answers to your personal issues and Bible questions. Do you have a Bible question? What's going on in your life? What's troubling you? Let's talk about it, because this is where the basic gospel intersects with your daily life. The phone lines are open now, and we invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377, a toll-free call across the country in the U.S. and Canada, 1-800-677-9377. We're here to talk to you. This is Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking today about how to experience God's best in life. I know that's something that we would all like. I think some of us think we've fallen way short of that. So how do we experience God's best in life? One of the answers the Bible holds is, coming to grips with the fact that we're no longer under the law, but we're a part of this new covenant that Christ ushered in through his death on the cross. In this new covenant, we have better promises. We have better hope. It's far superior to the old. So if you want to truly experience God's best, you need to ask the question, which covenant do I live in? Do I live in the old or do I live in the new? Well, God's rescue plan in Jesus Christ was to rescue us from the law of sin and death. That's the old, so that we could experience new life in Jesus Christ. That's the new. And so when we can really come to grips with that, then we're well on our way to experiencing God's best in our daily life. So let's talk about it on today's broadcast, 1-800-677-9377. Let's start today in Ricktown, New Jersey, and talk with Patty listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Patty.
Hi, how you doing today?
Doing well, thank you. Nice to hear from you.
Thank you. Well, I had a sin of adultery, and I do know a lot of scripture, and I believe I was born again many years ago. But I seemed to never able to get the flesh under control. And it also resulted in a divorce, which it's very difficult to be without my spouse and my son. And I am just having a lot of health issues, and I've had insomnia for 6 months, haven't slept. And it's cost me, a great deal of, personal problems and things like that. So,
well, Patty, let's see if we can help you with this. We certainly can't solve all of those problems, but hopefully we can point you in the right direction and connect you to the person who can, and that's Christ Jesus himself. As far as the adultery, the Bible calls that a sin. That's in the Big Ten. But I think you have to come to grips with the fact, what did Jesus do with that? What did Jesus do with that act of adultery that you willfully committed? Well, he willfully went to a cross, and he stepped into your shoes, Patty. That sin deserved a punishment, and that punishment, according to God, was death. And so Jesus stood in your shoes and took that death for you so that you could be set free to live in the newness of life. So you have to come to grips with the fact, Patty, that sin has been sent away once and for all, and that sin has been forgiven because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you know that to be true?
Yes, I know that to be true, yes.
Okay, so that's one thing you thank the Lord for, is that he has dealt with it, and dealt with it severely, but dealt with it in such a way that you can experience a release from that guilt and from that bondage, and you can experience forgiveness of that sin. So, Patty, that's the first thing. Then the second thing is you have to realize that your ex-husband now and your children, or is it just a son that's in the marriage?
It's a son.
Okay.
Yes.
That was an act that brought pain in their lives. That's why God calls things sin. Not just because it's a violation of the law, but because of the consequences that others experience as a result of those actions. And divorce is adultery is a very, very painful sin for those that are affected by it. For your ex-husband, it's a rejection that's deep, and it's a wound that takes time to heal. For your son, it's exactly the same thing, because he's probably sitting there wondering, what did I do to bring this about? What, you know, is this my fault? And so it's going to take some time for those wounds to heal. And I think
been 3 years. It's been 3 years already, and it's not fully, it's not healing, especially myself, because I'm out of work. I have nothing coming in. I'm in a real difficult situation, because I'm unable to, very needy person, and I'm not able to make it on my own. And I realized what I did was wrong, but I'm not experiencing a full life in Christ, because I have neurological problems and my legs. I'm not dealing with this very well, and I don't know what else to say. You know, I mean, I believe in Christ and all that, but I've always had trouble stopping. In the flesh. I mean, I never seem to be able to stop.
Well, Patty, here's I think what's going on with you, and I certainly feel your pain, and I think everybody else can sense what's really going on inside of you. But you committed this act of adultery, and I think what's happening inside is that your identity is now tied with that act. You see yourself as an adulterer. And if that's who you are, how could God love an adulterer? And why would he want to? And so it's hard to draw near to him. It's hard to apply what he has to say to you because you still see yourself as that adulterer. But here's what happens with salvation. When you come to Christ by faith, you're born again. The sins are sent away. The blood of Jesus has taken them away once and for all. And that cleanses you to the point that God gives you a new identity. He calls you something else. He no longer defines you as sinner. He no longer calls you sinner. He calls you a saint, a child of God. And you're going to have to trust the Lord to open up your heart and eyes to truly rest in the fact of who you are now in Christ. You are a child of God. So you're going to have to put aside that old identity of adulterer and embrace this new identity that you have, child of God. It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight, but that's the direction.
It's easier said than done. Because I think about my husband and my son every single day, and my brain doesn't want to shut off, so I get no sleep at all. There's no sleep whatsoever, none.
And your flesh keeps telling you you're an adulterer. So yeah, that voice is still there, and it sounds like you.
What about suicide? If you commit suicide, is that also a sin?
Yes, that's a sin. You know, thou shalt not kill. It's a sin. That would be a sin. But talk about something that will compound the issues of your ex-husband and your child. That's the most selfish thing that anybody could do, and it's certainly not the answer. So you just have to let that go and realize that God does have something for you, and you're going to have to trust that he's going to bring that to you in such a way that you can know it and experience it. Is suicide something you're thinking about? Is that something that you're planning, or just a question?
That's what I've thought about for a very long time, because I'm not sleeping and I'm having trouble with my legs and I can't walk around 24/7. I don't have a job. I only have I'm in a really bad situation, and I just don't want to go into a facility, to take care of a problem that no pill is going to It's the way they deal with.
Well, Patty, do you know for sure that you you've come to Christ?
Well, I have. I did give my heart and mind to him, but for the past few years, I've tried to go to church, but I don't really have a desire to read. I mean, I listen to a radio broadcast, and still, but.
Well, Patty, again, the reason is because you know, Jesus Christ has taken away the sin. He's not thinking about the adultery you committed. He already dealt with it. He already thought about it. He already judged it. He already punished it in Jesus. So that's not a barrier that stands between you and God. But you seem to be bringing it up, dredging it up, and putting it right there. And it's where it is in your mind separating you from God. You're going to have to recognize what Christ has done. And he's removed it. So in your mind, you need to remove it. Like I said, that's easier to say than it is to apply. But that's what you're doing. You were bringing that adultery, and you're just putting it right there in between you and God. And you're seeing him through that act that you did. He's seeing you through the blood of Jesus. Now, what he wants you to do is for you to see yourself through the blood of Jesus. Here's what I want to do, Patty. Let me put you on hold. Let us get some information from you. We'll send some resources that I think can be of help to you, and we want to follow up, okay?
Okay. I wish I just could get better physically and mentally and psychologically, because I'm not there, and I'm having a difficult time, you know, just getting up in the morning. I mean, just going somewhere. I mean,
yeah, I understand all that.
I want it to end. I want, you know, I can't do this anymore alone. I'm not able to do this alone anymore. It's been 3 years, and I
understand all that, Patty, and I can't give you the whole answer to this in just a short little radio broadcast. That's why I want to put you on hold. That's why I want to get some more information. That's why I want to send you some resources, and you can count on the fact that we want to be there to help you walk through this process, okay? So you hold the line, Patty, and we'll get some help on its way, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You tend to Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis, and as God brings Patty to your mind, pray for her.
Yes, indeed.
To be delivered from this situation that she's in. 1-800-677-9377. We have plenty of open lines, and that's why we're here, to address your questions and your issues and take you into the Word of God for the solution. 1-800-677-9377. Call now. Plenty of time remaining on the clock. Guys, a question from Carl. Very short. It says, what does it mean that perfect love casts away all fear?
Great question, and it gets right back to what we were discussing with Patty. Fear has to do with punishment. That's what John wrote in 1 John chapter 4. Why we are so afraid of God is because we're afraid of being punished. Punished for what? For sins that we have committed. And if we will recognize the perfect love of God, and he goes into great detail in that chapter, 1 John chapter 4, of saying that God showed his love among us, that he sent Jesus so that we could live in him, and that he showed his love among us, that he sent Jesus to be a propitiation for our sins, to take away our sins once and for all. And when we recognize that act of love that God did on our behalf, that act of love cast away the fear of punishment that all of us have. So it's connected. The love of God is connected to the work of Christ on our behalf. When we get connected to that love of God and the forgiveness that we have in Christ, we're going to see that fear being pushed out of our minds and out of our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Calls beginning to come in, and we're going to address one more email question before we go to the phones. Though this is from Mike, who listens in Denver. He says, I recently read that we can stay filled with the Holy Spirit as long as we don't grieve or quench him. What is the doctrine on grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit? And if we should do this, what is the effect on the Holy Spirit and on our spiritual walk?
Well, to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be filled with the love of God. So our decisions, our actions, and those sort of things are being controlled by the love of God. When we grieve the Holy Spirit, it's when we don't act in love toward our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's when we grieve the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is moving in our hearts to act in a completely different way. And that's what we need to understand. So to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be controlled by the love of God. Mm-hmm. To grieve the Holy Spirit is to act against or counter to what the Holy Spirit is doing in and through us.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as we're getting calls on the screen, Bob, let's talk a little bit about the Basic Gospel Journey. That's our CD that we're offering to our listeners during the month of June.
And it really does answer that question, how do you experience God's best in life? That's what this CD message is all about. And we want to put that in your hands so that you can see what life looks like in this new covenant. It's our, you know, it's a wonderful message. And it's available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. And all the information on how to do that is online. And I certainly want to encourage our listeners to give generously at this particular time. As we start the second half of the year, we would like to do so on a positive note. Right now, we're about $80,000 behind budget. And we would just really strongly urge our listeners to make a gift to help bridge that gap and put us into a positive position as we start the second half of the year. So if you can help us right now, we would greatly appreciate it. Call 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828. Talk with Billy. She would be glad to walk you through that process. Or you can go to our website and make a contribution online.
Yeah, that website, realanswers.net. Just click the support link in the upper menu again at realanswers.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Calgary, Alberta, and talk to Erga. Hi, Erga.
Yes, please. Hello, how are you?
You're doing fine, thanks. How can we help you today?
Sorry?
How can we help you today?
Today I was just listening to the radio in my car right now, and then I heard that there's a lady is having a discussion with someone on radio, and then telling that she's suffering of something on her leg, and then she's already received Christ in her life, and yet she's trying to commit something wrong in her life. I was just trying to say that if it is receiving Jesus Christ in the life, is just completely giving your life to Christ, and then see yourself that, I mean, asking him everything, what is in you, what is talking in you, forget about something wrong, which is past, like forgetting for all, and giving yourself to Christ, that the problem will get solution. I have been passing through this problem, like, 12 years ago, before I received Jesus Christ in my life, I used to have like hard time, like what she's saying, and just to let her know that she need to completely give herself, just 100% to Christ, not living 50-50. When people live 50-50, it's very easy for someone to be in a, to get lost away from God's godly way. So that is what I wanted to tell to the.
Well, I appreciate you calling in, and hopefully she is hearing what you're saying, Erga. And thank you for doing that. I think so many Christians are fence sitters. You know, they've got one foot in the world and one foot in the grace of God or in the basic gospel message. And when you're on the fence, nothing good happens. Absolutely nothing. And I think you need to get off that fence, put both feet into Christ and say, Lord, I am ready to experience this life to the full. And I think when we make that decision, we see some really wonderful things take place in life.
You're welcome.
Yeah, so thanks for calling in. God bless you.
Yes, indeed. All right. Little time on the clock, 1-800-677-9377. Guys, there seems to be some confusion in some people in regard to the sins of unbelievers as opposed to those of believers. That provoked a question from Kurt. Is it correct to say that unbelievers' sins have been forgiven and taken away by Jesus on the cross also? Since Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, the only sin that people will be held accountable for is the unbelief in Jesus. The Bible seems to say that if people reject Christ, they will go to hell, but not on account of their bad deeds, only because of their unbelief. What's your take on this?
Well, Jesus Christ did die for the sins of the entire world. That's what the Bible has to say. John wrote that in his first letter, first couple of verses of the second chapter of 1 John. So we know that to be true. God died for all sin once and for all. So we know that. But that forgiveness that we can experience is received in the resurrected life of Christ. Paul wrote in Ephesians, in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So when we come to him by faith, we receive that forgiveness and we receive resurrected life. That is the gifts that we get when our hearts respond to him by faith. So the sacrifice was for the sins of the whole world. We receive the benefit of that when we come to him by faith. If you're still lost and you're still dead in sin, doesn't make any sense to you that Christ died for your sins. You don't really care about that. You're just interested in living your own way of life. But when you finally come to the end of yourself and you say, enough is enough, you know, I'm just sick and tired of being sick and tired, and your heart responds to that gospel message, and you receive what Christ provided for you 2,000 years ago, man, your heart just leaps for joy. Why? Because you know that you need what he provided. So it just makes sense to those who have received Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, guys, a question from Susanna from Kennedale, Texas, says, I'm confused about this story. It seems like Jesus is being mean to the Canaanite woman, at first not answering her, and then later stating it is not fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Then a couple of lines later, he says, great is your faith, and he healed her daughter. But at first, it seems to insult her. What am I confused about here?
Well, it's an interesting question and an interesting story, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it is. The way I read it in the context of that whole story is Jesus was doing something to get the disciples' attention. The fact that this non-Jewish woman dared to approach him probably had them incensed. And he sets this whole scenario up by stating the obvious. We can't associate with people like you. Well, she'd already knew that. She'd already come and broken all the social mores that existed. And the disciples are standing there going, get him, get him, get him, get him. And then he turns it because this woman demonstrates such faith. You know, I'm not going to give you food from the table. She says, but that's okay. Even dogs get to eat the crumbs. And that's when he says, what faith? Your daughter's already healed. The father told him this was coming. Father told him how to do it, what to say. The lesson was for the disciples, not for that woman. He had planned to heal her daughter all along because he did what the father told him to do. But the father also said the disciples need to learn something here. And we're going to start in an answer that they would have given. And then we're going to reverse it around and say, disciples, this person belongs to me too. He just shatters the dividing wall of hostility between Jew and Gentile in that story.
Yes, indeed. And a really life lesson on what faith is.
Yes.
And she exhibited it. Those of Israel did not.
Yeah, did
so,
not.
Yeah, it's quite a contrast there. So, Susanna, thanks for asking that. Well, you have been listening to Basic Gospel. I want to reiterate our financial need at this point. We're about $80,000 behind budget, and we would certainly urge you to make a gift today if you possibly can to help bridge that gap so that we can start the second half of the year on a positive note. You can do so by calling 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828. Or you can go online at realanswers.net. Just click the Donate Now button and follow all of the instructions. And any gift, whether large or small, is significant. God will use it to reach out and share with somebody who needs to know the love of Jesus Christ. So if you can give $10, know that's a significant amount. If you can give $100 or $1,000, God takes all of that, combines them together, and the impact is huge in the lives of people out there.
Absolutely. And you can find the support link at realanswers.net, or you can call during Central Time office hours and speak with our operator, Billy, at 1-800-727-2828. Also, friends, you know, Independence Day brings the July Freedom Sale, our best-selling products at great prices. You know, sharing the freedom we have in Christ is one of the great joys for believers, and these resources can help. And it's the July Freedom Sale on now. Visit store.realanswers.net. Again, store.realanswers.net, or phone your order to 1-800-727-2828. Now for Bob Christopher and Richard Piper and the ministry staff, Bob Davis, inviting you to join us at the same time tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.